All Eyes on Unemployment.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Bill Radke. Everybody's waiting for the job numbers coming out in about half an hour. The U.S. economy is expected to have created more than 500,000 jobs in May. Much of that uptick may be from temporary census jobs, but Brett Rasmussen, president of Career Builder, thinks there's pent-up demand for workers.
I think that we have a lot of employers out there that are still very, very cautious. They remember, it's fresh in their memories what happened 2 years ago, and they don't want to go through another massive layoff, so they're being cautious.
With solid employment numbers and some other signs the economy is improving, investors are starting to get their appetite for risk back. That means less business for super safe investments, as John Dimsdale reports.
As a safe investment, Treasury bonds have been in high demand during the recession.
We've had one hell of a rally in the bond market.
Marilyn Cohen is president of Envision Capital Management. She says the flight to safety allowed the Treasury Department to sell government debt cheap. But now that the economy shows signs of recovery, buyers of those notes are turning to riskier investments with potentially higher returns, and yields on those Treasury notes have started to climb.
There will become a time when the institutional investor, who is really, you know, the 800-pound gorilla, will say, you know what, I really have no interest in a 10-year Treasury. I'm going into the equity market, or I'm going into, you know, commodities and or other things.
Cohen says that would force Treasury to offer more enticing returns on government debt to investors. Presumably, though, a stronger economy would also generate more government revenue and therefore less debt, assuming politicians can control spending. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The flight to safety might not be over just yet. Leaders from the group of 20 nations are in South Korea today. They're expressing doubts about the global economic recovery. That's got overseas markets feeling blue. London's FTSE is down 0.5% this morning. Germany's DAX is off 0.25%. Yesterday, U.S. markets were up. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose just a bit to close at 10,255. And BP reports this hour the cap it put over the leak in the Gulf of Mexico seems to be catching some oil. Meanwhile, there's a six-month stop on deepwater drilling in the Gulf. And in the next couple days, oil drillers in the Gulf's shallow waters will have to stop temporarily. But only temporarily. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Most of the 3,500 rigs in the Gulf are pumping in 1,000 feet of water or less. Fewer than 50 are in deep water. John Rend drills in shallow water, sometimes just a couple hundred feet deep. He says it's a whole different world from BP's deep water operations. For one thing, his blowout preventers, designed to keep a well from exploding, sit on top of the water.
We walk down a flight of stairs and go to them, literally.
The crippled BP blowout preventer is down so deep it can only be reached by robots, ditto for the blown-out wellhead. Divers can usually reach shallow wells, but some environmentalists say shallow wells are just as dangerous as deep ones, especially for wildlife. Kieran Suckling is executive director of the Center for Biological Diversity.
Wildlife can be even more affected by blowouts in shallow water because shallow water drilling tends to be much closer. Sure.
And Suckling says blowouts are more common in less than 500 feet of water. He points out that the biggest spill ever in the Gulf occurred at about 160 feet. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender. Monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. American Public Media presents The Great Textbook War, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the Batten Institute at the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
Gentlemen, start your razors. After months of hype, Gillette's latest razor will hit store shelves this weekend, but it faces some stiff competition. From St. Louis Public Radio, Matt Sepik reports.
This latest version of Gillette's Fusion, the ProGlide, still has just 6 blades, but you wouldn't know it from the hundreds of millions of dollars Gillette pumped into the razor's design and its marketing.
I am ready to take the ProGlide charge!
He is ready!
The ProGlide features thinner blades and better lubrication, but Damon Jones with Gillette parent Procter & Gamble says even the loudest ads aren't enough to make men switch brands.
It's one thing to watch a commercial, but when we put the razor in the hands of guys and they try it, they tell us, wow. So we are really going to depend a lot on the word of mouth.
Meanwhile, Schick, owned by Energizer, is pushing its new Hydro Razor just as aggressively. Its selling point is a reservoir of water-activated gel. Lyndall Chu is a marketing professor at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. He says Schick has always been more innovative, even adding tiny clippers to its earlier Quattro line.
This product has a four-blade disposable on one end. It has a hair-cutting tool on the other end. It's operated by a AAA battery.
But despite Schick's technical wizardry, Chu says it'll have to fight hard for shelf space because Gillette's Procter & Gamble dominates the consumer products industry.
They're going very aggressive with these billion-dollar brands that they have and carving out deals that often will wipe out the number two brand, not just the number three, four, five, and six brand.
Chu says Procter & Gamble's Duracell is a perfect example. Earlier this year, it used its market clout to bump Energizer batteries out of CVS drugstores. But for customers confused by all the competing razor blades, vintage simplicity is making a comeback. Online retailers of those double-edged safety blades your grandfather used say business is booming. And while replacement cartridges for the latest razors can cost more than $4 each, the retro blades are as little as 15 cents. In St. Louis, I'm Matt Sepik for Marketplace.
And finally, European airline EasyJet said today it's fitting its planes with a radar that can detect ash. Volcanic ash from Iceland has cost airlines more than $1 billion so far. The radar can spot ash clouds up to 60 miles away. I think passengers should get radars, too, so you could spot seat kickers and the people who won't stop talking. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.